Welcome to an Urban Life audio message. We are currently in a series called Do You Have a Giant Problem? In this series, we are taking a look at how we can overcome the giants we face in our lives, like the giant of depression, fear, addiction, abuse, and insecurity. We trust that you encounter Christ's abundant life.
My name is JJ, and I'm one of the pastors here at Urban Life, and it's a pleasure to be able to share the Word of God with you this morning. And I'm excited about the things that God is doing and some of the stories that we are hearing that God is among us. God is really working and doing amazing things. Do you have a giant problem? It's a question. And that is a question we are asking in this season. We're doing a series called Do You Have a Giant Problem? And whatever problem you might have, it might be your first time here, and that question might be ringing in your head right now, asking yourself, yeah, do I have a giant problem? And I trust that at the end of this meeting today, God would have spoken to you through His Word. We're speaking today about the giant of insecurity. I heard a story of a man who had a battle, who struggled with the giant of alcoholism. He really was battling, and he couldn't go a day without a drink. In fact, every day when he came out of work, he used a train. He would go jump out of a train, and he would walk past a beer hall. He would get in there, buy two, and go home, drink, get drunk, and obviously you can imagine the quality of life of his family, his wife, his children, never really had a sober father. And that was the issue. And one day, he made up his mind that, you know, I'm tired of this. I want to get over this. I need to get through this. And so he told himself that one day, if I can gather enough courage to get past the beer hall, after I come off the train, I should be all right. So that was his goal. So one day he jumps off the train. He walks past the beer hall. And when he realized what he had just achieved, he's like, whoa, finally, I've gone through my giant. I better go back and get two so I can go celebrate. So he went back and got two to go and celebrate. So I believe in this season, friends, that God wants us to overcome our giants. God doesn't want to just set us free and then we go back to our old ways. The Bible says Jesus made a sacrifice once and for all. He's paid the price once and for all. And I believe that even when we face our giants, God is able to set us free completely. That we can be free and not have to run back and get to celebrate. There's a man in the Bible, his name is Saul. And he was a king of Israel. And he had what I call a severe case of insecurity. You know, insecurity, I call it a subtle giant, because it is a giant that in some cases you're not even aware that you are dealing with that giant in your life. In fact, I have to confess that as I've been working through this message, I've had to stop, because I thought I was quite a secure guy. Until I was working through this and I realized, oh God, this is such a subtle giant that it is possible that it could be eating up things in your life. It has the power to increase and grow to a point, as we will see, in the life of Saul and cause a major damage in our lives. So Saul was a king, and we're going to read a little bit about this guy. He was a king of Israel. He really had no business, if I may say, to have insecurities. There was no reason for him to have insecurities. Because he was king of one of the most feared nations in the world. In fact, let's read a little bit about him. In the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 9, and I'm reading from the NIV translation, it says this about him. There was a Benjamite, a man of standing. This was before he was appointed king or ordained king of Israel. There was a man, a Benjamite, whose name was Kish, son of Abiel, son of Zeror. As Craig said, these are good names if you are pregnant. The son of Becherath, the son of Apia, of Benjamin. He had a son named Saul, an impressive young man without equal among the Israelites. Now, I know the Bible doesn't exaggerate. It says this guy was impressive. He wouldn't walk into a room and you ignore him. That was Saul. He was impressive, a young man with no equal in among the Israelites. I mean, you can imagine a guy among the whole of Israel, he had no equal. A head taller than any others. But yet this guy, even a guy like that, good looking like me, he still had insecurities. He still had issues to deal with. And let's go on to chapter 14 of this book of Samuel. And we pick up verse 47. We read about some of his exploits. After Saul had assumed rule over Israel, he fought against the enemies on every side. Moab, the Ammonites, Edom, the kings of Zobah, and the Philistines. Wherever he turned, he inflicted punishment on them. He fought valiantly and defeated the Amalekites, delivering Israel from the hands of those who had plundered them. Wow. So this was a powerful guy. He wasn't just a good-looking guy, but he was also powerful. He was also gifted. In fact, God chose him to be king. You know, sometimes when we are dealing with insecurity, we lose sight of the fact that we have been chosen. A wife will be insecure about her relationship with her husband, forgetting she has been chosen. You're married to him, you're married to her, because he or she chose you. And this guy, Saul, his insecurity grew to such an extent that one day he had a guy, David, who we know to be a giant slayer. We've been speaking about how David defeated Goliath. Now, Saul had David come and work for him. In fact, David became his armor bearer and he worked for him. So one day, David, as a fighter, as a winner of battles, as a giant slayer, as a giant killer, came back from winning a war against the Philistines. And in chapter 18, we pick up the story of what happened there. So David had taken an army to go and fight and won the fight. Who was he fighting for? The whole of Israel, with Saul being the leader. So in fact, if David won, Saul won. If David won, they all won. Israel had victory. And yet, this is what happens. Chapter 18, verse 6. Here comes David. When the men were returning home after David had killed the Philistine, the women came out from all the towns of Israel to meet King Saul. They were going where? To meet King Saul. With singing and dancing. I mean, they're going to report to the king. We have war. We have war. And they are singing. And some women got carried away. And they danced. As they danced, they sang. Saul has slain his thousands, and David his tens of thousands. And Saul was very angry. This refrain galled him. They have credited David with tens of thousands, he thought. But with me, only thousands? What more can he get but my kingdom? Now he's being threatened. He's insecure. He's insecure. David went to fight for him. And people are celebrating. You see, when you're insecure, you fail to celebrate the good of others. When you're insecure, when good things are happening to people, you're not able to say, hey, well done, because you're thinking, it should have been me, you know. Could have been me. Saul says, why are they crediting me with only a few thousands? And David is being credited with tens of thousands. And he became angry. And there, from that point on, it became a Tom and Jerry story. A cat and mouse issue. Saul going after David, trying to kill him. Forgetting that this was even his son-in-law. That, can you imagine wanting to kill your own son-in-law because of your insecurity? See, friends, this is why I say insecurity has a way of being subtle, but yet it can lead us down a path we never bargained for. We were never prepared for it, and all of a sudden, this Saul ends up in a place where God even rejects him as king of Israel. That's a tragic story. So, are you insecure? Do you feel insecure sometimes? Do you have a mild case of insecurity or a severe case of insecurity? Where are you at in this issue? You see, when we talk about Saul, insecurity will even make leaders. You know, John Maxwell said this words. He says, insecure leaders are dangerous to themselves and their followers and the organizations they lead, because their leadership positions amplifies their personal flaws. It's like they become dangerous. Have you ever worked for a boss who was insecure? It's like it doesn't matter how well you do, they find a way to shine on your shine. And don't have the guts to say, well done, Jonah. This was amazing. Team, recognize what Jonah has done. Actually, what they do is they try to pull you down. This guy's trying to take my job because they're insecure. How about an insecure husband? Who's a leader in the home? He's always threatened. His position is always threatened. He always feels, my wife is trying to wear the pants. So, what is insecurity? Let's define that a little bit for us. And maybe we'll see some things that get exposed in our hearts, and God can help us deal with this. Maslow describes an insecure person as a person who perceives the world as a threatening jungle, and most human beings as dangerous and selfish. He feels rejected and is a rejected and isolated person, anxious and hostile. He's generally pessimistic and unhappy. Shows signs of tension and conflict, tends to turn inward, is troubled by guilt feelings, and has one or another disturbance of self-esteem, tends to be neurotic, and is generally selfish and egocentric. Wow, what are some of the symptoms that we see if a person is insecure? That person has a profound sense of self-doubt. deep feelings of uncertainty about one's basic worth in the world. You know, those people, you almost have to be careful around them. You have to watch what you say, because you might just say something that might upset them. They're not secure. You have to watch your words around them. Chronic self-consciousness, feeling as though all eyes are on you, like they are on me right now. Chronic lack of self-confidence, anxious about relationships, fear of rejection, misinterpreting the words and actions of others as such, uncertain about legitimacy of one's feelings and desires. So there's an instability there. You know? Defensiveness, an inability to receive and process criticism. Wow. Because they view criticism as an attack always. What have I done wrong? You cannot even give them positive feedback. They cannot enjoy silence, unable to be alone. They always want people around them. Excessive and inappropriate use of humor as a mask. So they're hiding something. They're putting up face. Self-promotion from an unhealthy need to be needed. You know? If there's a meeting at work and you're not invited, why didn't they invite me? I was supposed to be there. Bullying in relationships, overly authoritative. And it's a problem, especially when they're in leadership, when they're in power. Materialistic, an effort to prove one's value to others. You know? Irrational, jealousy over accomplishments and abilities of others, like we saw with Saul. He became too jealous of David. A tendency to be hypercritical of yourself and others. Abusive behaviors, physical, verbal, emotional, unhealthy, and sexual expressions. Wow. When you read some of those, you think, I've been there. I can identify with a couple of those. Been there. So how do we overcome? There is a better way. There is a better way. God wants us to live in a spacious place. To live in a place of freedom. To live in a place of hope. A place of knowing God is with me. I don't have to prove anything to anybody, because God is on my side and God is for me and with me. You know, Max Lucado said these words. He said, focus on your giants and your giants will fall, but focus on God and they will fall. You didn't get that. Focus on your giants and they will fall, but focus on God and the giants will fall. And there's an element of truth in this, in a sense that David, who was a giant killer, giant slayer, I like to call him that. Sounds good. David the giant killer, who killed Goliath, the giant. When David faced Goliath, he trusted in God. There was something about David's life that positioned him to be able to overcome. You know the song that we just read about where they say David slay thousands? David had developed a culture in his life of going to God before he went into any battle. He never faced battles without inquiring or asking from God. In many cases, we read accounts of how God would ask God for a strategy. He would have defeated an army, the same army, the same nation, and God had given him a particular strategy. And the next time he goes and fights against that army, he goes to God, "Shall I go and overcome them?" And God would give him a different strategy. So the fact that you have overcome in one way or the same issue the last time, maybe God wanted you to deal with it another way. So David comes into Saul's throne. He comes into Saul's throne. And when he gets there, Goliath is out there. He's hurling insults at the people of God. He's fighting. He's challenging the army of Israel to say, "Send one guy to come and fight me." And David, being the David who knew God. And may I say this, David didn't look like a giant slayer. He wasn't like Saul, who when you looked at him, you would take notice. In fact, let's read. Samuel 17, in verse 45. David said to the east, let me go back to verse 33. Saul replied, "You are not able." Have you ever been told you're not able? You're not picked in a soccer team? You know, I remember when I was at high school, there was a fashion show. So I thought, hey, let me go try this out. So one of the guys, a prefect at school, he was running this fashion show. So they had organized with a clothing store to organize clothes so that we can do a fashion show at our school. So I reckon, hey, I can do this. So I get there. And when I get there, I tell the guy, he's like a class ahead of me. Said, "Yeah, we had to join. We want to be part of the fashion show." He looked at me and he said, "Looking like this?" And he turned away and walked away. Like, left me standing there thinking, what was that about? Rejected. Have you ever been rejected like that? You think, "I can do this," and people think, "You can't do that." Those are some of the things that breeds insecurities in our lives. And so the same thing happens. David says, I can take down this giant. I can bring him down. And Saul looks at him and says, "You're not able to go and fight against the Philistine and fight him. You're only a boy." And he has been fighting from his youth. So he's more experienced than you. In fact, you're going to die. That's what he's saying. But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion and a bear came and carried off the sheep from the flock, I went after it and struck it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistines will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me," watch this, he says, "who? The Lord." He doesn't say, I did it, king, I can do this too. He says, actually, I overcame the previous giant because it is the Lord who enabled me to overcome that giant. He says, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go. The Lord be with you for our sake." Because he understood. Do you realize what just happened here? He just said to him, "You're only a boy. I don't trust you to do this. I don't think you can do this. Our our livelihood, our victory depends on you. If you lose against this giant, we lose. God be with you. That's the reality when David went to face Goliath. So he was that brave. So where does he get this audacity from? Where does he get this bravery from? From knowing it is God who enables him to overcome the giants. And the same David, he goes to this giant and he says to him, David said to the Philistine, Goliath, you come against me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty. We sang that this morning. Your name, Jesus. Come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me. Watch that. He doesn't say, this day I'll kill you, Goliath. He says, no, God will hand you over to me. Can you say it quietly in your heart? Whatever the giant you're dealing with this morning, God will hand it over to you this morning. I'll strike you down and cut off your head. God wants us to see beyond our current reality, our current problem, our current issue. What will happen if you are a more secure husband, a more secure leader in your home, in your workplace? What will happen in your family if you are secure, if you are a secure person? There'll be greater victories. There'll be better life for all, better quality of life for those around you. That's what we should see, friends. We should see there is a better way that God has for us. The victory is greater than what we can see. I close with this. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. For us to face our giants, to overcome our giants, we've got to acknowledge who we are in God. We've got to know who we are. We've got to sort out this issue of identity. You see, insecurity comes and challenges our identity. It challenges, who are you really? Like they asked David, you're only a boy. You cannot deal with this issue. You cannot deal with this giant. But God says, this is what he says about us. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Friends, that is huge. Not some of the blessings, every spiritual blessings that are in Christ, God has made it available to us. He chose us in him. Now I've got to pause for a little bit there. He chose you. If you've never been picked in a rugby team, God has chosen you. If you feel like you are the last one, you know, David, friends, David had every reason to be insecure. Can you imagine when God told Samuel to anoint another king for Israel after Saul had messed up? Samuel, the prophet, goes to Jesse's house where God had told him to go. He gets there. God had said to him, amongst the sons of Jesse, the king will be there. So the prophet gets there, he says to him, line up your sons. Paraphrase. I want to ordain or anoint one of them as king. of Israel? Well, the father says, yeah, I've got some capable young men here. He calls all his sons, makes them line up before the prophet. Except that was not all his sons. David was the last one, the last one. And the prophet says, none of these is actually the chosen one. Do you have another son? And his father says, oh yeah, there's a young man, but he's the youngest one. Like me. I'm the youngest one of seven. But he's the youngest one. And he's out there shepherding. In other words, he's doing something really, it's not really, You want a king. You don't want a boy shepherding out there. You want a king. And these you should choose among. Can you imagine being rejected by your own father who thinks you're not capable of being king? And your brothers are better than you? So he had every reason. In fact, when he went to go and fight Goliath, he wasn't even part of the battle. Because his brothers were there and he was left because, well, he was not one of them. He gets there, his brothers say, what you doing here? What do you want here? Well, I come to bring you food. So he had every reason, friends, to be insecure. But yet, he had learned as a shepherd to spend time with God. He had learned to spend time with God. He had learned an intimacy with God that dealt with him, with his insecurity despite what others thought of him. So, who are you, really? Who are you? You are chosen by God. You are loved by God. And you are kept by God. No, Bible says those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which shall never be shaken.
For more resources, you can visit our website or our Vimeo channel.